Welcome to the Closer and Closer podcast, a podcast about expanding your creative capacity. Each week, we interview inspiring creatives to help you grow your freelance career. All right, let's get into the episode. Welcome to the Closer and Closer podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Andrea Mejia Madriz, and I'm a part of the Artist Marketing and Partnerships team here at Closer and Closer. This week's guest is a Berlin-based illustrator born and raised in Zaragoza, Spain. He studied at the Berlin University of Arts and at the Potsdam University of Applied Sciences. His work is mostly conceptual, clear, simple, and colorful. He's worked for It's Nice That, The New York Times, Google, and TED, among others. He also likes ice cream, dogs, and editorial work. Welcome, Raul Soria. Welcome in.
Hey, hi. Hi, Andrea. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
I'm very pleased to be here doing this.
Thank you for being here. I've been so excited about having you on the podcast for a while now. It's just, you know, scheduling is tough, but yes. I'm excited to have you, and I'm excited to finally get to chat because I feel like every time that we have one of our conversations, again, for those of you who don't know, I have quarterly marketing meetings with everybody on the roster. And every time I talk to you, it's always a good time. And like, I always feel like I learned so much about you as a person that I was like, we have to have him on the pod.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I feel the same way.
Of course. Well, yes. To start us off, just, you know, the classic, most basic question I could ever ask you. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about who you are and how you got to where you are today as an illustrator?
I first came to the idea of becoming an illustrator on my second year in Berlin. That was the year 2015 or something like that, because mm-hmm. I met some people who were studying illustration mm-hmm. at the university. And that was something that I didn't know one could do before I came to Berlin, because I come from a small small town, or middle-sized town in Spain mm-hmm. called Zaragoza. You told that before, I think, already. Yeah. When I was growing up, creative careers wasn't a possibility. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't know I could become a creative person someday until I came here and start seeing people drawing stuff mm-hmm. and doing things. I met those people. They became my flatmates.
Oh, awesome.
They taught me some things, some tricks with Photoshop, and like I came in contact with the software and with things, and I think I decided pretty quickly that I wanted to stay in Berlin and I wanted to try this drawing thing, because I was back then I was working at a restaurant mm-hmm. as a waiter, and I didn't like it. And I had studied something else in Spain, tourism management, which mm-hmm. I didn't like either. And I never worked at a hotel or something or the like, because I just hated that too. So like becoming a designer first, because that was the plan back then. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if I wanted to become an illustrator or something else. That came later.
And how did you make that jump from wanting to be a designer to an illustrator? Because I think that's so common.
Yeah, I think design, like graphic design, wasn't fun enough mm-hmm. to me, or I didn't really enjoy it.
Yeah,
that much. It was like too dry to me, mm-hmm. something like that. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if the thing I could really do was drawing. I wasn't mm-hmm. very good at like Illustrator, like Adobe Illustrator, which was the software, or InDesign, which were the programs people were, like designers were using, and they were like mm-hmm. They were really good at them. And I was super bad. I could just use like Photoshop a little bit, and I could like draw with a pen, and that was it. So I thought, okay, if I want to do something in this university, I think I'm gonna need to take this path and see mm-hmm. where it leads. And then I made my degree. I mean, I changed universities in the middle of it, in the middle of the studies, because I mm-hmm. didn't like some things from the former, and I went to another one, which was more satisfying for me. And I finished the studies, and took me like a couple of years to mm-hmm. get things rolling.
Yeah. Did you automatically start freelancing, or did you?
Yes. Sort of. I mean, I did my bachelor, and I didn't know what to do. So mm-hmm. I went back to working at restaurants and like bars and stuff. And I tried to like to work on my portfolio, because I didn't have a mm-hmm. portfolio.
Yeah.
I mean, I had like some work from my studies, which wasn't very strong. And my bachelor project was okay, but it was like a comic. So I couldn't get any jobs from that. So I had to start like working
to build that portfolio.
Yeah, I had to do stuff. So I started with editorial work mm-hmm. for mostly small magazines and like newspapers from Spain.
Yeah,
mostly like political, very small, and mostly like for free or for very little money. Mm. So I had to combine the jobs as a like in the restaurant with mm-hmm. with editorial work.
Yeah.
Very badly paid editorial work. Yeah. And at some point I had enough stuff on my portfolio, and I sent it to blogs and design websites and
all the places.
And yeah, I sent it to several places.
Nice.
I mean, we're talking it was the year 2016, I think, something like that. Dang.
Yeah.
So Instagram wasn't a thing mm-hmm. yet, or it was, but I didn't know about it.
Yeah,
or
we were still using the filters built into the app.
Yes. Like everything was starting out, and I still didn't know about this app. So like being featured on the important blogs and websites mm-hmm. was like the thing
everything.
You needed. Yeah, you needed to go through that to start getting jobs, and that's what I did, and it worked. And ever since, I've been freelancing. Yes.
I love it.
Yes.
Awesome. And yeah, you mentioned that you started out with editorial work. Was it those initial pieces that like were not as well paid, and that you were kind of just doing to build your portfolio? Did you kind of find a love in those? Because I know that you still do a ton of editorial work, and I've always wondered, like, was this on purpose? Was it just kind of like the jobs that came to you, and then you realized you fell in love with them? Like, how did that work?
I think it was both, or like mm-hmm. everything you said. I mean, on the one hand, I was like reading a lot of news and press, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I really wanted to see my work in the media, because it was a very political time for me after the financial crash. Like it was like very bad in Spain, and like I was very young back then, mm-hmm. and had this political, what do you call that, epiphany or something? Like I started to understand things, blah blah blah. So I was consuming a lot of news, and I was seeing a lot of editorial work from other illustrators, mm-hmm. and I thought maybe I could do
that. Could be me.
This yes. And also, it was just the thing that seemed more, I don't know, I didn't know where to start otherwise.
It seemed accessible.
It seems accessible, yeah. I also did some logos for for friends, but that was like a lot of work and really badly paid. So I thought maybe the editorial work is better. Like it's very.
Maybe this isn't for me.
Yeah, it was also like very. It felt like very fast. Like you got the assignment and you had like 4 or 5 days, and then it was over, and you could relax or go to the next thing. And I like that. I don't really like it when jobs take a lot of time.
Mm-hmm. That I makes mean, sense. I think it keeps it exciting, right?
Yes, I prefer them short and. dynamic.
Short and quick. You get the brief, you get it done, and it's out there.
Yes.
Yeah. And something that I love about your story that I, you know, just as you were talking, I was taking note of it, is that you seem to be pretty open to change, which I think was interesting. Like, you just talking about the way that you got started in illustration, how you were just like, oh yeah, like I just saw a couple of my friends were doing it and I thought, you know, that might be something I want to do. And then going from design to illustration, it was just kind of, again, like a trial and error. And, you know, switching schools halfway through, that's something that, like, I don't know, a lot of people think about but are scared to do, just because they're like, well, I'm already, it's like the sunken cost fallacy, right? Of like, oh, well, I've already spent so much time on this one thing, so yeah, I don't want to switch to something else because all that time is going to be wasted.
Yeah.
And I think that's really commendable, because that's something that a lot of us fall victim to, or like get trapped in, is like, oh, I've been doing this, you know, I studied tourism, so now I have to do tourism, or like, you know, I work in the restaurant industry, so now I have to keep doing that. I like that you kind of weren't afraid to pivot and say, you know what, no, like, this isn't working for me and I don't like it here, so I'm going to do something else.
Yes, 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 that's true. But also, I don't think the risks were very big. I mean, I was very unhappy in the places I was mm-hmm. before the changes. So I changed because I needed to change. It wasn't like, oh, let's risk everything and try this thing, but more of like, okay, this is I don't like this life. I don't like this place. I don't like this. I don't like this. I need something else. Let's try this other thing and see if it works.
Totally.
But
I think it's commendable. I mean, so many people don't prioritize their happiness like that, you know. I feel like it's,
I've never thought about it the way you put it, but I like safety and like mm-hmm. security like a lot, but I don't mind to change, like, in general whenever I think I have to.
And for your own well-being, I think that's the important part, is that, you know, you weren't being reckless. You were just, you knew what you wanted.
You could say that. You could say that about me. Yes. Yes.
I love it.
Yes. Awesome. I like how that sounds.
Yeah. You can take that from me if you want. You can explain it that way from now on.
Yes. Yes.
Awesome. So I kind of wanted to go a little bit further back and just hear what some of your biggest influences are to your style. And like, this could be anything from like stuff from childhood to like mm-hmm. artists that you love now.
I have no clear answer to that question, because I really don't know. I talked about it with somebody not long ago,
mm-hmm.
like because I loved cartoons when I was a kid, and like I read a lot of comics, but the stuff I was reading and watching when I was a child has nothing to do with my current style. It's like, no, it doesn't come from there. I know when I first took things seriously, I was looking at the work of like some illustrators that were mm-hmm. like famous back then, or like were like doing the stuff I was interested in, or I wasn't really focused on something concrete, and
mm-hmm.
they just happened to be doing stuff I happened to like, and I thought, okay, let's try to make that thing they are doing.
Yeah.
So I copied a lot from other mm-hmm. people. At first.
Yeah.
Until I guess I was doing my own thing.
Yeah,
I think that's something like a lot of people that do.
Yeah.
But I don't have any major references, or like, I know from some of my peers that they like,
they can
tell, I like, I don't know, Matisse, or I get inspired by, I don't know, Picasso or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, I think my first illustration crush was a German guy called Martin Hacke,
mm-hmm.
who makes like digital collage illustration. After that guy came another German illustrator, Chilean German illustrator called Cristobal Schmal.
Mm.
And I think at some point I had an account on Instagram, and yeah. then like I got like influenced by everybody. And like yeah, and I yeah. just my style started changing, and I don't know where things came yeah. from.
Do you like think that's becoming point, more and more common nowadays that yes. like everybody, especially with yes. younger illustrators, now that everybody's yes, on yes, Instagram?
Yes, 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 so. Yes.
I just yeah, chucked my headphone like across the room for anybody listening. yeah, I think it's interesting how like back, because obviously back in the day, like before Instagram and stuff, you're yeah. probably seeing a lot of your inspiration like in smaller doses, right? So like looking
totally.
Through books and
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah. Or you had like that. You had like your 3-4 favorite illustrators, and you had I had like their websites saved mm-hmm. on my I don't know illustration folder on my yeah. Google Chrome. And those were the people I was like looking at, and yeah. right now it's like you can stop all these images to
yeah. Do you think that's better for illustrators? Because I would think that like allows for so much more breadth in work and like creativity and
it
a lot of different stuff.
Probably has like advantages and disadvantages. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's this people saying that everything looks the same now. La 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 la. You probably have heard about this.
Yeah, no? But it's interesting because I would think it would be the opposite. I would think that there's a lot more because the same thing.
I think the same thing. I totally disagree with those people that say that everything looks the same. but there is a how do you I don't know how to put it like a framework.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are a lot of people. Like speaking, I would say similar languages, mm-hmm. even though they aren't quite similar, but they like fit into the needs of I don't know the zeitgeist or something.
Yeah.
I mean, there are like color palettes mm-hmm. you keep seeing all the time, and like certain head shapes or whatever, or ears or noses, and
yeah.
And things are different, but like the languages are like. Sort of compatible.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I would say it's, to me, for me, it's positive because I think I feel comfortable within
yeah.
that bigger picture. And I think my stuff fits in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also afraid maybe one day things are going to break and like, I don't know. Very different things are going to be like in trend or
yeah.
something. And but I don't know. I mean, maybe the things that are being used right now in the illustration industry are popular because I mean, not only because it's a trend, but also because it makes sense that they are like so, I don't know, simple and so
mm-hmm.
colorful and so on, because like
yeah.
we have the time we have to finish an assignment. We can't spend like, I don't know, 1 week working on.
Totally.
It's like you have to be quick. You have to
yeah,
be
yeah, and I feel like everything
effective.
Is sped up nowadays, right? And like there's
yeah.
so many.
Yeah, so you need things to be simple. You need things to be blah, blah, blah. Yes.
That you don't really have the opportunity to take. You know, however long yeah. you want on a project, it's all kind of fast and constantly coming at you.
Yes. That's
yeah,
the way it is.
It's interesting. Next up, how has your style evolved over the years? I know you kind of touched on it a little bit, but I kind of wanted to just hear, like, what do you do in your mm-hmm. day-to-day practice to kind of push yourself in your work and your career growth?
Mm-hmm. I think the constant thing over the years has been trying to simplify things mm. and trying to become more effective and trying to become faster.
Yeah.
Because I need to free time to do other stuff.
Yeah.
And I need to be able to finish my assignments in like as
in
fast as possible.
Amount of time.
Yeah. Because otherwise, I mean, right now it's okay. I'd say right now I've managed to have an, I'd say acceptable work-life balance.
Mm-hmm.
it's still not perfect. I mean, I should be able
nothing
to.
Nothing ever is.
Yeah, I'd like to work like a little bit less and earn a little bit more and have a little bit more time.
Yeah,
but basically that's what I've been trying to do with my style, like find ways to work fast and efficiently.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
well,
but
I think
it's
that's
still
wonderful.
The paradox of it is that work takes a lot of time and a lot of work. It's like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
It's like you have to do the work up front so that you can release a little bit of the work down the line.
And then there's also the part of the like the part that has to do with the like the proper trends in the in the industry. Like sometimes I feel or it's happened to me that I was doing stuff that I suddenly thought it was over. Like, okay, there's too much of this, or this is, maybe I should start working with, I don't know, with maybe I should leave the textures. I used to work with textures.
Gotcha.
Which I enjoyed, but it took me a lot of time to finish one single piece, so it didn't make any sense. And at some point I sort of felt that wasn't necessary anymore.
Yeah.
So I got rid of them, and I had like this. I used to have this obsession with not using any outlines. And at some point, I thought maybe it's easier just to
do a little
leave the outlines there and don't spend any time thinking which lines are going to stay and which ones are going to go. Just let them be and think of other things. Yeah, and so on and so on.
Simplify
goes on in my head.
No, yes. I think that's great, because I think a lot of people think of like evolution and growth as like addition, you know, like they're like, oh, I need to do something new, or like learn animation, or add this thing into my pieces that I'm not doing right now. But it can also look like, you know, taking away the extra stuff that you're like, wait, maybe this isn't really serving my work and like making me any better. Maybe I'm just doing this because I feel like I need to. So I think it's interesting to hear that.
Or even because I'm scared not to do it, because I'm scared of how things would look if I don't do that and that and that. I don't know.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, this kind of ties into my next question. When you were talking about work-life balance, I kind of thought about creative ruts and how, you know, I know that you're no stranger to creative ruts. We've had conversations about it, and I don't think any artist is unfamiliar with that feeling. So can you just talk about what your process of getting out of one looks like? Like, how do you manage to get through those times when you're like, I have nothing I want to draw and I don't know what to do?
I must say I don't have a solution to that issue.
Love it.
Yet. I have learned over the years to accept them whenever I have a rut, or whenever I'm like totally blocked and I don't know what to do. If I'm working in a particular assignment, which is often the moment when I get a rut, or when I don't know, when I feel like blocked. I've just learned to accept it like part of my process, like
part of the work,
because I always have like maybe one day in which I expect like a lot to happen and nothing happens, and by the end of the day I used to be like super frustrated and like very unhappy, and after some years I just decided, okay, that ineffective day is just part of the process. You gotta count on that. It's gonna happen and it's gonna be fine, because the next day you're gonna find an idea and things are gonna be fine. If it's more of a phase, like not just one assignment, but like weeks of feeling uncreative.
Yeah.
I don't know. Mostly when I've had this times in my life, it had to do with some external problem I had to solve.
Mm-hmm.
So I just try to solve the problem, like look for the origin of the problem and try to solve it, and then go back to being creative.
Yeah.
I
think that awareness is super important, right? To realize like everything affects your work when you're creative. Like you don't, it's not compartmentalized. And I guess even when you're not creative, like even in my work, you know, I experience the same thing. It's like you think that you're just, you know, distracted or having a hard time focusing, when in reality there's something else going on that you need to take care of.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true. That's correct.
Yeah. And then I think it's also interesting that you, I mean, that shift in mindset, right, into from getting frustrated with the creative ruts to just accepting them as part of your process, I think that's super powerful. And that's something that I think everybody should adopt, because realistically, like you're never going to be 100% on your game, and you're going to have those moments where you just can't push through. And I think, yeah, it's all about just shifting that mindset and being like, you know what, it's going to happen, it'll be fine, and we'll move on.
Yeah. And if it doesn't happen, which sometimes is also the case, or like things get like very tight,
mm-hmm.
I just ask my art director. I tell them like, hey, sorry, I have this like half idea and that's all I have. And usually like they have another idea that maybe mm-hmm. makes your idea better and things work out.
Yeah, that communication is also key, like just making sure that you're keeping everybody clued in and aware of like where you're at, because, you know, obviously they're not going to know unless you tell them.
Yeah, and they've been there too. They know how it feels. They know these things happen. They,
totally. No, everybody does. Everybody's been there.
Yes.
So how has your relationship with your creativity changed throughout the years? I think this one kind of piggybacks off of the last question, but as you know, illustration has gone from being a passion to being a job, as you advance through your career, how has that relationship changed?
I guess it's been pretty typical. Like mm-hmm. it was exactly what you just said. Like it used to be a hobby, then it became a passion, and I could like spend literally like the entire week sitting on my desk working on stuff and drawing things.
Yeah.
And now it's like a job, and I am hoping to do this like the less the better. Mm-hmm. I mean, not the less the better, but I want to have free time. It's really become a job. I mean, right now it feels like a job. It mm-hmm. feels like, I wouldn't say it feels like a core. I mean, it doesn't hurt, but some days I'd rather like spend a day with my dog in mm-hmm. the park than going to studio and work on assignments. That's a reality.
Yeah.
Was
that a difficult transition to experience? Like, did you struggle with that?
Yes. It hasn't been easy. It's still not easy sometimes. But I think it's more, I think the current situation, or my current way of understanding the job as a job, is right, and the old way of understanding it, like when I thought it was like just fun, and
mm-hmm.
I was turning my dream into a job, and all this stuff people used to repeat all the time, like 10 years ago. I think that was pretty toxic. I think that was pretty bad, and that led people to, I mean, in my case at least, and I think a lot of people who started out at the same time, we were working a lot. And I think young people are still working a lot because they are still being told, you have to.
Yeah, your job has to be your everything.
Yes.
Your passion, your love, your everything.
But yeah, it's sort of, sometimes it's, when I have like a day, one of those days in which I don't really want to work, it feels like wrong. It feels like I should be always up to draw something because it's my passion. It's not only a job. It's just, yeah, and that's a contradiction I frequently deal with.
Yeah,
And I'm also learning to accept it. It's like it's okay. Like most people don't love their jobs all the time. And
yeah,
that's okay.
Exactly.
That's fine.
Yeah. And I think it's just understanding how that relationship has changed and being able to say, you know, obviously I still like doing it and I'm still grateful to do it.
Of course.
At the same time, it is a job. And like any other job, sometimes it's going to suck. Like it's not always going to be great.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then do you think the past year has taken a toll on your relationship with creativity? And like, how do you think your process will change and or stay the same once we're out of isolation? Like, is there anything that you've learned from the past year that you think you're going to take with you or you're going to change?
I would say in my case, no. I mean, it hasn't made a difference, like regarding creativity and my job and all that. Not really, because I had like some problems before the virus started.
So it was all struggle.
It was all struggle, yeah. So it didn't really, like the virus didn't really make things worse for me. Like things were bad already.
Yeah.
And right now they're getting better, as you know. No, I wouldn't say there's going to be any major corona-related changes in my way of working. Nope.
Yeah. It's good to hear. Yeah. We're on the up and up then.
Yes. I feel like learning new stuff. I don't think it has anything to do with the pandemic, but right now I'm like learning After Effects.
Ooh.
For some reason.
Fun.
Yeah, I want to start animating at least a little bit.
I love it. Can't wait to see it. And then
yes, you have got to be patient.
Kind of also tied to Corona a little bit, but you know, more general than that. I know being a freelancer can get pretty lonely. I think I've heard it from a lot of our roster. It's a lot of working on your own with your head down. How do you manage the loneliness that arises?
Right now, I mean, I've had like pretty lonely times in the last years because I was working from home.
Yeah.
For months. And now I'm in a studio with I'm sharing a studio with a friend.
Oh, that's awesome.
Studio partner. I mean, we're not like super close friends, but we knew each other and we like each other. And it's very nice to, I think it's the first time ever I'm sharing a studio with another illustrator.
Oh, wow.
So it's very nice to talk about like client stuff and work stuff and
I think it's just about like finding those people.
Right now I'm not feeling lonely like at all.
That's good.
No, I also have my dog, which is like it also helps a lot, and I go to the park and there are other like dog owners and we talk about dog stuff.
Well, I think that's great that you again like have found these other outlets. Obviously we've talked about this a little bit throughout the podcast, but like finding that balance and finding, you know, yes, it's great to have your illustrator friends and like that's always good to have a bouncing board and somebody who understands, but it's also great to like find people outside of that world that, you know, have a different worldview, whether that's other dog parents or you know, people that
like friends from outside of the creative world who have like totally different views on anything, on everything.
Yeah.
And that's very refreshing.
Yeah. It's helpful to have somebody else outside of this world to lean on.
I have plenty of those actually. I mean, most of my friends aren't creative.
That's good, I would say. I mean, that's interesting. Yeah.
I have two or three very good creative friends, but that's it.
Yeah. And I think that's healthy to have like a wider net of people because obviously like if everybody is going through the same struggles of like freelancing and being by yourself all day and all that stuff, it can get really heavy, you know, to like all be feeling that way all together at once.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's nice to have, maybe I should have more creative friends. No, because it's nice to talk to people who are like going through very similar struggles.
Definitely. Well, if you ever need anybody, you do have 45 other people on the roster that you can reach out to.
I know. That's true. Yes. You do. Some of them in the same city.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of them in the same city. Yes. Funny enough.
How many are we here?
I don't know, but
like,
there's a
like
lot of you.
Five or something like that, no?
Yeah, my default is always Berlin, and then that's always where I'm thinking everybody is, even if they're somewhere completely different. I'm just like, oh, Berlin, right?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, before we wrap up, the last question, I always say it's the toughest one out of all of them. Mm-hmm. Can you let our listeners know where they can find you and your work?
Oh, do you mean like online or like...
Yeah, online.
Online.
Give him your address.
Yes. I have a website. It's www.raulsoria.de. Like Deutschland, like Germany in German. And I have an Instagram account. My handle is Raul Soria, and one of these
underscore
lines. How do you call it?
Underscore, I believe.
Underscore. Okay. Yeah. Same thing with Twitter, but Twitter I mean Twitter is like more of a personal thing.
Yeah.
I use it to like retweet memes and Love it.
If anybody wants to know the memes that Raul is looking at, head over to Twitter.
Yeah, but I think just Google Raul Soria and you'll find me.
He'll pop up. Great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here, Raul. I had such a good time.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. It was very nice.
Thanks for tuning in to the Closer and Closer podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review to receive the latest episodes. You don't want to miss some of the incredible conversations that we have coming up. They'll be full of powerful insight to help you reach your full creative potential. To find out more about us, visit www.closerandcloser.co.